All right, Three Circle Church, great to have everyone back together today after the storm last week. I hope everyone did well. Hope you didn't lose too many trees and limbs and all that good stuff. How many of you got to actually attend our online gathering that we did last week? Just raise your hand if you're able to do that. That's great. Awesome. Many of you took advantage of that. I think you can still see that message. If you go online, I think you can still find that. Before we dive into Bullseye, because we took a pause from Bullseye last week because of the storm, so this week we're going to dive right back into it. Before we do, I want to talk to you about something that's coming up that's really big here at Three Circle Church. It's going to happen 2 weeks from today. October the 29th will be what we call Trunk or Treat. We're doing it on Sunday night this time, so hopefully that'll help everyone be able to get involved since it's not on a work day. And you see video from last year, and it's always an incredible thing. Now, this is something that we all are able to partner in. We do it together because what we want you to do is actually be the trunks, okay? You're going to bring your car, set your car up with some friends, turn it into a game with candy and all that good stuff, and we fill our parking lot up with your cars doing that, and it really helps us reach the community. We'll have thousands of people here. They'll bring their kids, and then they remember that. They remember, hey, there's the church that blessed us and allowed us to do that. And every year we have families come to our church because they came to our trunk or treat, okay? So we want to invite you to help us with this, and it would help us if you'd sign up as quickly as possible so that we know what we have coming in. So the first thing you can do to help us be a part of this event is go to threecirclechurch.com/events. If you would get your pen out, I know how cute it is, but if there's my son, there's my boy. Get your pen out and write down threecirclechurch.com/events. You can register your vehicle there, and you and your family or your small group or your friends can do a car. It's a lot of fun. And then secondly, you can help us by donating candy. You can bring a bag of candy or two or three or 40 and just bring them by the church. You can bring it today, you can bring it during the week by the office, and we will receive your candy. We will not eat it before the event unless it's Kit Kats, and then I can make no guarantees because we like Kit Kats. All right? So if you would help us with this, please do sign up with your car. We need a lot of cars to do it, and a lot more than we have right now. So if you would help us, you will not regret it. It's a little bit of work. Yeah, I know, but hey, isn't everything? So bring your car. Let's have some fun, all right? Especially if you have a cool car. I think that if the Lord has allowed you to have a cool car, you probably should have to do this. This is the way I see it, all right? Let's go to Bullseye. Today we're going to be talking about the issue of marriage. What does it mean for our marriages to hit the target? And what target are we trying to hit with our marriages? Who designed the target that we're shooting at for our marriages? I want to answer those questions today. And to get us ready for that, I want you to check this out. So that's what we want to do today. We want to redefine marriage in a biblical sense. Now, you may wonder, what in the world do I have in my hand? This is a high heel shoe sticking in a piece of sheetrock put into a frame. There's a story behind it. When Nan and I left our church in Florida to come here and be the pastor 5.5 years ago, our church threw us a big party, and we had told this story about our marriage so many times that they actually gave us this to take with us, okay? Nan and I are really big on helping couples have great marriages. That's why we started the True Marriage Ministry when we got here, 2-3 Circle. And so we've always been transparent about our marriage. We've been married for 17 years, and there's a story behind this little thing that our church gave us, and let me tell you the story. So, because I want you to understand that we don't have a perfect marriage. Our marriage is not perfect, and we've had our struggles as well. So when Nan and I first got married, we were in Atlanta. We moved to Atlanta away from everyone we knew. We couldn't run to mom and dad and grandpa. We were by ourselves in a big city at a big church. So we got there and we bought a house, an old house that we were fixing up and renovating. And it was in the middle of that process that Nan and I had an argument. I know it's hard to believe that people in ministry argue and stuff, but we do. And Nan and I are very different. Nan's an introvert, and I'm an extrovert, and I'm loud, and she's quiet, and there's all that clash that happens. And so we were having an argument, and I was up against a wall. She had not put me up against the wall. I was just standing there, all right? Wasn't that bad. And we're just talking, and it became an argument. And I can, you know, listen, we all know our buttons we can press, and I'm sure that I said something totally arrogant and totally rude or whatever. It was very frustrating, and whatever it was I said to her, my wife reaches down and takes off one of her high heels that she had on and threw it at me like a ninja, all right? It was like out of a movie. It was like, whew. And this high heel went through the air and literally stuck in the wall next to me. That's why I have this thing. I mean, it just stuck there. And if that wasn't bad enough, I'd made my wife that upset that, like any guy would, by the way, I think any of you guys would have done what I did. I look at that shoe in the wall, and I look back at my wife, and I went, that is awesome. How did you do that? Try it with the other one. That's amazing. You couldn't do that again in a million years. And, of course, that made her upset. So then she's got one shoe on, one shoe off, and I'll never forget the scene of my wife hobbling out of our house like this and walked out the door, right? So we've had those moments. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sit this right here. And as we teach today on marriage, if you get mad at me while I'm talking, you just look here and remember that I'm in the boat with you, okay? My wife and I want to have a great marriage too. And it's not always easy. How many of you would raise your hand today and you know that marriage is not easy? Just raise your hand. It's wonderful, not easy. Some of you didn't raise your hands because you just got married. Let's give it a little time. So today, we need God to define for us marriage. Not Oprah, not Dr. Phil, not Tony Robbins, not the magazines, not the romantic comedies you watch, not Hollywood. What does God say the target of marriage should be? We go to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. What does the Bible say? We're going to read this. We're going to unpack it. Some of these are some of the most beloved scriptures in all the Bible about submission and submitting to each other. People love these verses. That's a joke, by the way. First verse, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want you to underline or circle this verse, verse 21, because it is the canopy under which all the rest of the verses will live. This is the canopy. In a sense, marriage should be a competition of submission between us. Two people submitting to one another. Two people loving one another. And the reason we do it is out of reverence for Christ. So there's a reason behind having a biblical marriage, because biblical marriage is hard. It's difficult, and what you're going to see is there's a great reward, and the greatest of all the rewards of having a great marriage is that we honor Christ. This is all about Jesus. So now that he tells you this is for Jesus, he's going to tell us some very difficult things that we're going to have to do. Let's read it together. It starts with the role of the wife. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now let's just stop for a second. Most of us probably don't like that. Let me just tell you a few things. Number one, the word submit in the Bible does not mean that that your husband's the boss. It's different than that. Okay? It means that your husband is the head. That's the word the Bible uses. Now you need to understand, as we look at this, and I want to show you what I mean by this, men and women have different roles, and I'm even going to give us different colors today, okay? So let's just say, ladies, your role is going to be yellow, okay? All right, I hope you're okay with that. And anything I say today that you don't like, I actually have a brand new email address. It's blakestanley@threecirclechurch.com. It's awesome. And here's the guys. We're going to let the guys be the blue, okay? So we've got yellow and blue. And what you see here is the Bible's telling you that men and women have unique roles. They are different, and there are unique roles in the marriage. But submission does not mean checking your brain at the door, ladies, when you get married. It doesn't mean that you have nothing to bring to the table. It's the issue of headship. And this word head is important because everything has to have a head. And if there's two heads, you call that a freak, right? That's kind of scary, two heads. Everything has to have a head. And God's design. And let me just help you understand marriage today, okay? Marriage is not, my love story with Nan is not actually just our love story. Our love story is designed to tell God's story. And when you understand that about your marriage, that your marriage has a higher purpose, that you're telling another story with your story, you'll begin to understand this. Because God, you're going to find out, He wants your marriage to tell His story, the story of His love for the church. In order to do that, God has written a script. In a sense, this is His play, and you're the actors. And He has written His script, and He knows exactly the story He's trying to tell. And what He does is He gives wives, He gives the ladies, He says, here's your part, here's your script. And guys, here's your script, and here's the roles you must play in order to have the marriage that I want you to have. So He says to yellow, you have a role, you have a script. And blue, you have a role, you have a script. And it's His story. We can't rewrite the roles. Or then you have a different story you're telling. And notice that God's going to keep saying the reason you're going to do this is because it's my story that I'm telling. The reason you're going to do certain things, and they're going to be different and unique, is that it's my story, it's not your story. So wives, He says there's a head, and the head is the husband. We're going to unpack that more in just a moment. Then it goes to husbands, verse 25. Husbands are to love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy. Men, you want to underline that word holy or circle it, because you're going to find that that's going to be the number one goal for your marriage and you as a husband. Make her holy. By cleansing her, by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, those phrases are important. In what same way? The way Jesus loved the church. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of His body. Now, this verse 31 is important. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one. Everybody say that with me. And the two will become one flesh. Verse 32. This is a profound mystery. So God says, I know this is hard. I know you're wondering why. Why does women do this and men do that? He says, it's a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. See, there it is. It's His story. Says, the reason you've got these roles is because I'm telling a story. It's my story. It's the way it's supposed to work. So if you're going to tell God's story with your marriage, verse 33, each one of you, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now let's begin to unpack all of this, okay? First of all, you need to understand that if you're married, your spouse or your marriage has to be the most important relationship on earth for you. It's the most important human relationship you have. As we built our targets out, we understood who's yellow. Who's the bullseye? Jesus, right? Come on, y'all got to talk back to me. I grew up in a church where everybody talks back, all right? Who's yellow? Women. No, who's yellow on the target? Someone said women. That's that, all right? I got another thing over here. The target, the bullseye is Jesus. No matter how young or old you are trying with your life to be more and more like Jesus, and we call that sanctification or becoming holy. The next thing on your list is marriage. When you get married, the next most important relationship is your spouse, not your kids. Remember that email address I gave you earlier? I'm just telling you, one of the biggest things many of you need to do this week and next week, we're going to talk about parenting next week, is you need to make a conscious decision to make very clear in your home that your kids come after your spouse. It will be better for your kids. It will be better for your marriage, and it happens to be the way God wrote the story, okay? By the way, understand, this is important to understand the why behind the what. The reason that has to be this way is because marriage is a seismic relationship. It changes everything in your life. It says here that two become one. Everything changes. Watch this. When you get married, every other human relationship you have changes. Every single one of them. You don't have the same relationship with your parents anymore that you did. And what I see often, and I'm telling you, I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years. We fight that battle here. I see a lot of blues and yellows. They come together, they get married, and they want to stay exactly how they are. But marriage wasn't meant to leave you like you are. It changes everything. So your relationship with your mom and dad changes. It really does. And I've seen a lot of people that don't get that right. I've known people who have been married for 15 years, and the head of the marriage is actually not the husband, it's the wife's dad still. He's the one that still gets called for advice and leading, and I wonder what dad would do. Ladies, I just want to help you today. If your dad is still in essence, your leader, then you are undermining your husband. He despises it even if he doesn't tell you, and it's hurting your marriage. That's why the Bible says leave and cleave. Look at your spouse and say, leave and cleave. Just say it. Just look at each other and say, leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. That's why it says that. And see, this is an uncomfortable message today because some people are like, oh man, have you called Pastor Chris? Did you tell him what we've been dealing with? I'm telling you, marriage changes every relationship you have. Hey, guys in this room, those of you that your mama's still your boss, can I help you? You're 38 years old and mama's still boss. You ever seen Mama's Family? You remember Vinton? Mama? Mama? Remember him? He'd walk in. Is anyone old enough to remember Mama's Family? That is a masterpiece, that show. All right? And Vinton walks in. Mama, 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 mama. And some of y'all are like that. Hey, you got married, man. It changes every relationship you have. Your spouse is most important now, okay? That's number one. Number two, God's number one goal and purpose for your marriage is not your happiness, it's your holiness. That's why I had you underline that word. You keep seeing this word holy come up. The story we're telling is a story to make us more like Jesus. Now, this will change the way you look at marriage. If you begin to understand that your marriage is not primarily functioning to make you happy, but rather it is to make you more like Jesus, you will appreciate your spouse even more. First of all, let's get happy off the page. You cannot make another human happy all the time. Do you know that? You're different. You can't make one another happy. Nan and I realized this real fast. So we learned how different we were pretty fast. How many of you know that you and your spouse are different and you realize it even more after you got married, right? Now the world will tell you that maybe you didn't find your soulmate. Like if Oprah is telling you about marriage, you know it's all about soulmates. You can't find that in the Bible anywhere, actually. Do you know that? So what the world tells you is, oh, y'all had a fight? Maybe you didn't marry your soulmate. The answer is you married a human. Okay? So Nan and I got married. We're very different. I remember the first morning of ours as a married couple, right? First morning. I wake up at about 6:30 like I have my whole life. I'm a morning person. I shoot out of bed like I always have. It's Sunday morning. The year was 2000. There was this big worship song back then. All the churches were singing it. See if you remember. It went like this. I'm trading my sorrows. How many of y'all remember? I'm trading my shame. See how many of you know it. I'm laying them down. Y'all hear all the nerdy Baptists in the room that were listening? There you go. You got it. So I woke up, and I'm in the shower. I got shampoo everywhere. Man, I'm happy. I'm married. A beautiful woman said, yes, I am a married man. I keep looking at my hand. I'm in the shower. I got shampoo everywhere, and I'm singing. I'm having church, man. Oh, just having a good time. And all of a sudden, I hear, I got shampoo everywhere. I, like, wipe the fog off the thing, and I look through, and there's my new wife. And she looks at me, and she says, are you serious? It's 6:45 in the morning. You are singing loud. She had no idea what she had married. See, what Nan and I have realized is that she's not a morning person, and I'm not a late night person. Man, about 10 o'clock, this plane starts landing. Anyone know what I'm talking about? So I've learned, hey, let's not wake up singing at the top. Sometimes I still do just because I know it aggravates, right? But what we learned too is that late at night, Nan would want to have these long conversations with me. We'd be laying in bed. I'd be like, yeah, babe, yeah, that's right, yeah. It's over. I'm gone. Next day, she'd get up and she'd be like, you fell asleep. I'm like, baby, that plane is landing. I've been going all day. That motor's been running. And when it stops, all right? So we had to learn that we were different, and this was going to be tough, and this wasn't going to be easy. And you know what? In that process, God has made us holy because we couldn't make each other happy all the time. You're putting a weight on your spouse that they just can't carry. Do you understand how fickle you are as a human? Do you know that your spouse can't figure out how to make you happy because you don't even know how to make you happy, right? Have you ever been starving to death but could not figure out what you wanted to eat? Anyone? I've come home starving before just stood there looking in the pantry. I don't know, man. Or be starving and you and your wife and, well, what do you want to eat? I don't know. Yet we think our spouse can figure out how to make us happy. It's impossible. So God has a better thing. God wants to use marriage to make us more like His Son. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the 1800s, said that the anvil upon which God lays the character of men and women and hammers them into the image of Christ is the anvil of marriage. Isn't that romantic? Well, my marriage is like an anvil. But you know what? It's a beautiful thing that God does when he uses this relationship called marriage to make us more like his son. And if you'll begin to do that, you will appreciate it. Watch how you will appreciate your spouse more. Watch. If my goal is holiness, then when things are tough between my wife and I, it's an opportunity for me to become more like Jesus. In fact, the days that are hardest in my marriage may be the days that God gets the most work done in my becoming like Jesus. Because when I have to forgive my wife, who am I being like? Come on, talk to me. Let's have church, y'all. Jesus. And when she has to forgive me, which is much more, I promise you, who is she acting like? Jesus. There's no better relationship to make you more like Jesus than marriage. Let me give you another little secret. If you pursue happiness as the goal of your marriage, you will end up not happy and not holy. You'll miss both. That's called aiming wide. You aim for happy, you miss both happy and holy. But if you make holiness the goal of your marriage, you'll end up becoming holy and you'll end up much happier. The happiest marriages are marriages that aren't expecting one another to make them happy all the time. I mean, why in the world would we freak out? I got people that come say, we're just not happy anymore. Who cares? Like, that's my new thing I say. I just don't care. Work at it. Keep working at it, man. We're giving up way too easy. Some of you guys need to take the white flag that you're ready to surrender for your marriage, and you need to put that thing away. You need to light it up. Get rid of it. There is no surrender in marriage unless you're surrendering to the plan of God for your marriage. Stop looking at the exit sign. Some of you need to take the exit sign and rip it off of the walls of your marriage, and you need to look at one another and say, we're not going anywhere. We're going to work this out for the glory of Jesus. We're not walking out that door. Some of us need to do that today. So we pursue holiness because this is why Jesus gave his life for the church. Holy. We're to become holy. And what we call this at Three Circle is the green marriage. Let me tell you what I mean. We want you to have a green marriage. Y'all remember in elementary school, what two colors come together to make green? Blue and yellow. Yeah, now you get what I'm doing here. So let's just try it. Let's see if it really works. So I'm going to paint a circle here, so a little bit of blue, and let me get a little yellow here, and let's see if it really works. So when you take these two things together, all of a sudden it literally creates something new. Yellow and blue both disappear, and this new really cool thing happens. You end up with this new color, this new thing that did not exist until blue and yellow came together, and it is green. That's why we call a biblical marriage a green marriage. Because I don't even see what used to be there anymore. I've got this new thing that's happening. And that's why the Bible says that the two will become one. A yellow that used to be yellow and a blue that used to be blue. Now you don't even see that anymore. You see this new thing they have become. My fear is that many of us have been even married a long time. And we're still just as yellow as we ever was and just as blue as we ever was. We have totally missed what God has for us. In our marriages, God wants to do something beautiful with us. So, a few things you see here. You see that both the man and the woman have unique roles. They have different roles to play. Write it down if you would. First of all, blue and yellow equal green. And this is what God's trying to do in our marriage. Husbands and wives are made to be different on purpose and for a purpose. You need to know that you are different. Don't freak out about that. You didn't miss finding your soulmate. What you did is you married a human, and God designed marriage to have two different people coming together. As I pointed out, Nan and I, very different. I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, and I have very seldom seen two people that are just totally alike. You're different in the way you think, the way you see things, and the quicker you realize that God designed it that way, you're meant to complement each other. My wife is strong in areas that I'm not strong. And I'm strong in areas that she's not strong. And for a long time, see, here's what happens. Pride will make you not like that. You'll be like, you know what? I'm good at everything. And you're missing out on what your spouse brings to the table. Good marriages, great marriages, are green marriages that begin to learn that both of us bring things to the table, and God designed it that way. There is a purpose. It's the story he's trying to tell. And then we see these different roles. Let's take a look at them. First of all, verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. You see, God keeps pointing you back to this. He knew you wasn't going to like it. He knew none of us were going to be like, oh, I love that. That's awesome. Like, right after salvation and eternal destiny in heaven and Jesus, right after that is that submitting to my husband part. I love that. No, none of us like that, right? But God says, let me just remind you, you're telling a story. Women, ladies in this room, listen, and this you won't hear this at every church, I understand, but we're a Bible church. I'm telling you, ladies, that God has designed you with a specific role, and your role is different than your husband's. God has two environments where he's designed these specific roles. It's in his church, and it's in the family. And in both of those places, a man is supposed to be the head. Did I say boss? Did I say dictator? No, but headship. This goes all the way back to the garden. Adam, the Bible says, we all died in Adam. It doesn't say we all died in Eve. It says we all died in Adam. Why? Because Adam represented, as the male, Adam represented mankind. It's called headship. Men, there's great responsibility that goes along with your role. We're going to get to it in just a second. But ladies, your job is to submit. Submit does not mean check your brain at the door. It does not mean that you bow down. It does not mean that you say, you're right about everything. If Nan would have told me that I was right about everything, we would have been a blue marriage. We never would have turned green. It would just be like me with Nan going, okay, whatever. No, I needed her to pull. I needed her to help me. I needed her to have input. So just so you know, guys, if you think that your wife submitting to you means that she shuts up, she never says a word, and she has no input in your marriage, then you have no idea what you're talking about. That's not biblical marriage, okay? The Bible tells us that God took woman from the man. He took her from his rib, not from his head so that she would be over him, not from his feet so that she'd be under him, but from his rib so that she would be beside him. Amen? But let me say this to you, ladies. I'm just telling you the truth. The most chaotic and some of the most chaotic and most unhealthy homes that I've seen and marriages I've seen have been those in which the woman is trying to be the leader and the head of the home and will not allow her husband to lead. That is a chaotic situation. Let me tell you why. Because it's not God's design. People ask me sometimes, they're like, I don't know, man, this is hard stuff. Let me help you. People will say, well, Chris, well, if you feel that way, you're just diminishing women. Number one, I'm just reading the Bible. Okay, number one, let's just get that right. I am reading the Bible, okay? And it's his story, not mine. Number two, people will say, well, could you ever vote for a woman? Absolutely. For president? Absolutely, if it was the right woman. I could vote for a woman for president. Could I work for a woman? Absolutely. CEOs, bosses, absolutely. Well, why are you okay with that? But you're telling me that men are supposed to be the head in the home and the head of the church. Because this is the design of God for his church and the home, the Christian home. That is his roles that he designed. Does that make sense, guys? So it's his design. It's his way to do it in his church and in the home of a Christian home. Okay? So ladies, your job, according to the Bible, is to create an environment where your husband can lead. Do you know the best way to help a leader lead? Follow. And some of the toughest situations I've seen is where a lady goes, I'm not following him. And then the next question is always, well, Chris, you don't know my husband. That would be fine. If my husband gets to the point where he's worth following, I'll follow him. When my husband's worth submitting to, I'll submit to him. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says submit to your husbands as unto who? Come on, talk to me. This is about him. Now let me ask you this. Is Jesus, the one who gave his life for you, is he worth you playing the part that he gave you to play in your marriage so that your marriage can tell the story that he wants you to tell? Is he worth that? That's the question that we have to ask. And let me give you another way to look at this. If my wife waited for me to be worth submitting to, she still wouldn't be submitting to me. Because I can't earn that. Does that make sense? She could find plenty of reasons not to right now. Okay? That is endless. That's why God didn't play that game with us, because he knew that's what we would do. He said, no, just get all that off the table. Neither one of you are worth it. You're two humans. You're broken. You're a mess. You're going to do this in the shadow of the cross of Jesus. So first of all, we have these roles. And write this down if you would. The scriptures are consistently going to point us to Jesus while defining our roles as spouses. Every time, even with the men, just keep pointing you back to Jesus. So ladies, we see this submit and respect our husbands. Now we go to the husbands. Husbands, we are to, verse 25, love our wives like Christ loved the church. And then many of us go, okay, that means he died for it. And I had one guy come in one day, and man, he was the ultimate Alabama stereotype. And we were in Florida. We weren't even here yet. You could have called him Bubba. He was Bubba. He came in, and he didn't understand why his wife didn't love him the way she should, and all of this kind of stuff. And he looked at me, and I said, well, do you love her the way Christ loved the church? He said, oh, yeah, man, I'd take a bullet for my wife like that. I said, well, that's the easy part, man. That's the easy part. Will you serve her and care for her and love her the way Christ loved the church? Because it doesn't just say that he laid his life down. It says that he did everything he could do to make sure that she would be holy, that the church would be clean, that she would be healthy, radiant, it says, without stain or wrinkle. Are you willing to iron the dress, so to speak, of your bride? Because it's easy to go, I'll take a bullet for my wife. Any of us would. But will we serve and love our wives the way Christ loved the church? So I'm going to give you a new definition of husbandry today. According to this, listen to me, husbands in this room. The number one role of a husband in a home is to create an atmosphere where your wife can become more like Jesus. That's number one on your list. Number one on a husband's list is not, it is not the square footage you've provided in the house that you bought your wife. It's not to make her happy. I've heard that before. I do everything I can to make her happy. Once again, that's not our target. Our target is creating an environment where my wife can become holy. Okay? Number one on the list. So I would say it like this. How I'm doing as a husband equals how my wife is doing with Jesus. How I'm doing as a husband equals how my wife is doing with Jesus. Not what my wife wears. Not what my wife drives. Not how happy my wife is with her house. Not all that. I'm not saying those things aren't important or that they don't rise to even get on the radar. They do. I'm saying that the number one goal is, am I creating an environment? And next week you're going to see, dads, that you got to create that environment for your kids, but you start with your wife. Because how many of you know, husbands, if we'll create atmospheres for our wife to grow in Christ, guess who's going to automatically be growing in Jesus? Our children. So we got to get active in that. And that resets it, doesn't it? Doesn't that give you a new way of looking at what our roles are? And the Bible says that if we will both play our part, we end up with this thing God wanted us to have. We end up with this green marriage. It's very different than what the world tells you a marriage should be. So wives, you can write it down. We are to submit, respect, and follow husbands. And husbands, we're to love and serve and lead our wives. And both of us play our parts as an act of glorifying Jesus. I promise you, and God designed it this way, there'll be days when you do not want to play your part. Can we just be honest? How many of you have ever not wanted to play your role in marriage? Just raise your hand if you ever have. That's going to be all of us, right? But I promise you, in playing the part God's given you to play, you will become holy, you'll become like Jesus, and your marriage will get better. Can you imagine if we'll play our part, the story we can tell in our marriages? Do you know the marriage is the best sermon you're ever going to preach? It's going to be your marriage. So we say it like this. Marriage is an environment designed to make us more like Jesus. Now here's the next part you need to understand. Biblical marriage comes at a price. There's a price to be paid. For two to become one, both must leave something behind. I don't see, when I look at this green, I don't see yellow or blue anymore. They've disappeared. There's this new thing. And see, I think many of us want to go the coexistence route. I want you to stop coexisting in your marriage, and I want you to really come together. Coexistence is the marriage of the world. Biblical marriage is a coming together, and it means you're going to have to pay the price. Let me give you just three different areas you're going to pay a price in. First of all, freedom. You give up some freedom when you get married, which means you cannot do everything you want to do when you want to do it anymore. And this becomes quite the battle in marriages, right? So I've done counseling before where the woman comes in, she's like, you know what, these are the traditions that I always had with my family, you know. Every year, me and my mom and dad and my sisters, we do this thing where we go off for a week and we shop and we do all that, and my husband's wanting to change all that. And my answer is, probably so. because your traditions don't all stay the same. Everything changes when you get married. It's going to change. That's what green looks like. It looks like, yeah, we might not go to Granny's and Aunt Betty's every Christmas like we always have. Yeah, you got married. You understand that if you wanted to bring something into your life and just add it to your life without changing your life, you should have bought a goldfish. If you buy a goldfish, it doesn't change your life. It's like, you set it on the sink, and you see it every now and then, it swims around, feed it, you're good to go. Not so with a human. If you get married, your life has changed. And you guys are going to have to begin to decide stuff together. And I've seen guys come in on the other side of it, come in and go, I don't know why she has a problem with me being gone 3 months out of the year. Buddy, there's deer to be killed. I got to go deer hunting, man. Well, let me just help you. You got married, so you probably aren't going to hunt as much as you used to, big boy. Just probably not. And I've had guys like, really, that's who I am. That brings me to number two. You're going to give up some of your identity when you get married. That's exactly right. I am not who I was when I married Nan. And she's not who she was when she married me. We have changed one another. God has used it to make us better, to make us more like Jesus. But we both had to give up. And are still doing that, man. There's all kinds of things. And let me just say this. My wife, oh man, has made me so much more of the man God called me to be than I could have been apart from her. In so many, I could just give you a list after list after list. My wife's made me a better dad, better everything, because I married her. Because I'm telling you, me, I'd be all over the place. I get bored with stuff real fast. I've been your pastor for 5.5 years. If it would have been without Nan, just me, I would have been bored after 6 months. I'd be like, everything's going well here. Let's move to Alaska. Not even thought twice about it. We can go tomorrow. And Nan has settled me down, man, and helped me see a lot of things. And what's happened is I've pulled her towards me, and she's pulled me towards her. And in doing so, we became people that God meant for us to be all along. But if I dig my heels in and I go, nah, man, when November gets here, baby, you're going to find me. You're going to have to go looking into pine trees. That's where I'm going to be. And you better not, hey, you better whistle before you get there. You might be in trouble. If that's you, you might not have a green marriage. And if you're going, you know what? My dad, I love my husband, but my dad's still the authority in my life. And me and my mom are going to shop 2 weeks every year. We're going to go to Birmingham and every Christmas, and we're going to do what we want to do. And you know, and because I've heard all these stories. If that's you, and you haven't changed, and you're still just as yellow as you've ever been, you didn't get married. You just bought a goldfish. Right? You just added someone to your life. And God wants more than that for us. Lastly, your dreams have to change. We all have dreams. We come into our marriages. Man, the dreams have to change. Your dreams that you had for your life now need to be mixed and mingled with the person you married. You can't just pursue. Well, I mean, I married her, but I was going to be a pro golfer since the time I was 5 years old. And although I'm not making any money golfing, I'm going to keep playing golf 8 times a week. Because that's who I am. You're going to have to leave some of that behind, man. That's not marriage. Marriage is not yellow and blue defending their color. It's going, you know what? I understand that I've got to give up some stuff for us to have the marriage God wants us to have. So I've got to give up some of my dreams. And we need dreams together as couples. God designed marriage to create something new that did not exist before. That's what it's meant to do. It's green. And I would say it like this. Hopefully this will bring it all home for you. If you're the same person now that you were before you got married, you're not doing marriage the right way. If your marriage hasn't, I mean, significantly changed and impacted you, then you guys are just coexisting. You're not letting this thing work the way it's supposed to work. It should change you. So when you meet your buddies that you haven't seen in a long time, you're like, man, you're just not the same guy. You can go, thank goodness my marriage is working. You're right, I'm not the same guy. Let me say this as a side note before we move on, before we land the plane. If you are parents of a child who now is an adult and they've gotten married, so you're a parent and you're at that stage of life where your kids are married or they're getting married, one of the best things you can do to honor Jesus is to get yourself out of the way of this process. Love, pray, but don't you dare stand in the way of this process. Because I have talked to couples before, and I've looked into it, and when you start drilling down, you realize there's mama daddy issues on both sides. And I'm just telling you, you can help that process. You can help that process by looking at your kids and going, no, y'all need to work that out. No, honey, you don't need to call me. You need to call your husband. Does that make sense, guys? Don't stand in the way of a God-driven process. The reason often we don't come together, by the way, is a tug of war happens. A tug of war happens between yellow and blue, and it's a pride war. Pride will keep you from having a green marriage. Because what you'll do is you'll say, I don't need to be more like you. I'm good. You need to come to me. And Nan and I had these arguments early in our marriage where it would be the standoff at the OK Corral, right? I'm not budging. If you would think more like me, Nan, things would be better. How many of you have ever had that conversation? Yeah. How'd that go for you? Didn't go so well for me. And you know what happens? You end up missing what God wants for you. You need to, listen, you've got to stop fighting one another. And one thing I figured out early in my marriage is I wanted to win every argument. It was a tug of war and I was going to win it. And I'm a talker. I'm a professional talker. I've had a microphone in my hand since I was a kid, literally. I married a woman who is more introverted. And Nan and I would have arguments early in our marriage. And man, I love to debate. I was on a debate team in high school. I mean, I will argue. I love to argue. Okay? Talk politics, whatever. Just throw the subject out there. I'll argue with you. So when I got married, I thought, oh, it's going to be fun now. I have a debate partner. Oh, I'm going to win. And I won a lot of arguments. And you know what my wife did one day that changed my life? She's sitting here. She'll remember this. My wife looked at me one day early in our marriage. We didn't have kids, probably first year, year and a half. And I was winning one of our arguments. And she looked at me and she said, hey, she just stopped me. She said, hey, Chris, you're going to win this argument. You always do. She said, but you're not going to be right. You're wrong, and you're going to win the argument simply because you can talk better than me. But you're not going to be right. You're still going to be wrong. She dropped the mic and walked out of the room. Mm-hmm. And I sat there, and I was like, she's right. Like everything in me wanted to argue and debate. She was right. You know what I learned? I learned that for someone to win in your marriage, the other one has to lose. And no one likes to be a loser. Write that now. For someone to win, the other one has to lose. Do you really want to turn your spouse into a loser? They're not going to like that. They're not going to find that romantic. It will not be endearing. Do you know what Nan did for me in that moment, by the way? My marriage was working the way it was meant to, because what we could have done is looked at one another and we could have said, we missed it. We're not soulmates. We missed that episode of Oprah. So we obviously made a mistake here. No, man, no. We turned the exit signs off as soon as we got married. You know what? Our marriage was working, because when Nan said that to me and walked out of the room and left me standing there with my pride and my arrogance shattered, she nudged me towards Jesus. It was one of many times that my wife made me more like Jesus. She knocked another rough edge off of me. And I have to appreciate that. So let's land the plane. Worldly marriage tells you that yellow and blue do not change. They simply coexist. That is not biblical marriage. Biblical marriage says yellow and blue, fight it through, wrestle, pray, cry, talk it out. And after years and years and years and conversations and doing life, that marriage just keeps becoming green. It just keeps getting better and better, and it keeps getting more and more green, and it's a dance we dance by the grace of Jesus. And Jesus says, when you do this, you're telling the story. Look at verse 32 in Ephesians, right? He says, it's a mystery, I know. There's going to be times you won't see it, but you're telling my story. And as we've said each week, I'll say it to you again, we have to learn as our team comes to aim small so that we can miss small with our marriages. When you aim at happy, you don't get any of it. But if we'll start aiming at holiness in our marriages and start fighting for green, I'm telling you guys, we're going to have something on our hands that the whole world will want. They'll be like, man, I want a marriage like that. How'd y'all get that? It's green. Most of the world is coexisting in their marriages. Have babies, build a house, live life, but they're not actually having a marriage. God's called us to have marriages that tell the gospel. How many of you are with me today? How many of you would say amen to that? I want that for my marriage, man, all right? Here's what we're going to do in the next few moments. I want to invite you to just spend a few moments. We're going to create an environment for you to just pray. I don't know what's going on in your marriage. I know I'm convicted by this for me. So if you have a spouse and you're together today, grab hands, put your arm around one another, and pray together. Talk about it. Get in your car, talk about it. But right now, just kind of say, hey, man, that spoke to me. Hey, let's fight for green. Let's work on this. Let's come back at this. Whether it's been 10, 5, 20 years, spend some time with your spouse right now. And if you don't have a spouse in this room, would you pray for those that are couples? If you're engaged, you can pay me later for this sermon that you got before you got married. Listen, green, 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 all right? Let's pray together.